Hey, welcome to Wonderful World Podcast. It's Leadership Day, and I'm glad that you have joined in with me today. And I look forward to everything that we're going to discuss, because I believe that some of the things we'll discuss today is going to be so important and very, very timely. We live in a world that's desperately needing leadership. And so today we're going to talk about leading during difficult times. So as I've told you before, I keep notes and I put them in my phone, and I don't always know who said what. I try to give credit when I can, but I found something in my notes this week that I wanted to share with you. And it said this. It said, "Have you discovered the difference between problems and facts?" Now, this is really good and helpful, especially during difficult times, and I think that you will find this useful. It said, problems are things we can do something about. We can solve problems. Facts are things we can do nothing about. Therefore, we do well not to worry about them. And I thought, how many times as leaders we tend to spend our sleepless nights worrying about stuff that really there's nothing we can do about them. And so it says this, it goes on to say, we can apply energy only to those things we can change. And we can feel peace and act with poise because we no longer beat our heads against an untreatable wall. So that's just some encouragement, because I know in leadership, there are often times we wish we could change particular things and particular issues, but there's not a lot we can do about it. And so I think we need to discover, okay, is this a problem that I can do something about, or is this a fact? If it's a fact, I can work in the framework of that fact and solve the problems around it. So just some helpful. I want to share with you today an article that I read from Inc.com by Bill Murphy Jr. And it's called 9 Things Great Leaders Do in Difficult Times. And this article was truly helpful to me, because right now, where we are in our world, we are in difficult times. We have everything from a pandemic to riots in our streets. It is unbelievable where we are. And that's just on top of everything. We're in a political season where people are voting, and we have a presidential race coming up, as well as all the other local elections and state elections. And so in these difficult times, I think it's good to say, okay, as leaders, what do we do during those? And so I want to share this article with you by Bill Murphy, nine things great leaders do in difficult times. And it says, great leadership seems easy when things are good and everybody's happy. When times grow tough, however, a leader's true colors are revealed. And that's so true. 10 years ago, a group of U.S. soldiers tasted combat for the first time in Sadr City, Iraq. And one of the junior U.S. leaders in that battle was a young man by the name of Dave Swanson. Dave Swanson at that time was a 26-year-old lieutenant. He is now out of the military. And he talked about what he learned by leading 40 soldiers in 82 straight days of combat. I don't know if that's something most of us as civilians can wrap our mind around. 40 soldiers, 82 straight days of combat. You're 26 years old and you're leading people. Applying these principles can greatly improve your effectiveness as a leader, no matter what challenges you face. So let me give you these quickly. I don't try to take a lot of time on these leadership. I want to hit and give you these facts, but this article says it all, and I'll let it do the most of the speaking. Number one is control your fear. Control your fear. The article says, as bullets whiz by him for the first time, Swanson says he was very much afraid. But he realized he had to subdue his fear. And one of the reasons he had to subdue his fear is because soldiers were looking to him for clues to how they should react. And one thing we've got to get as leaders is that people are watching how we react. I know as a father, when something would happen, my children would turn and look at me. They want to see how I'm going to react, because that is going to teach them how to respond. The article goes on to say, courage doesn't mean the absence of fear. And how many times have we heard that? But it also doesn't mean charging ahead blindly in the face of adversity. It means you can't allow your fear to become contagious. You have to make smart decisions in tough times, and you have the confidence to do that. So what a tremendous point to start off. Control your fear. Number two, remember that the mission comes first. Now, obviously, we're talking military, but this is life. He says, first on the list, you owe the people following you a goal worth dedicating their efforts to. And you need to demonstrate that you're willing to do whatever it takes to achieve it. Quote, I say, complete the mission at minimal expense to the people, Swanson says. Every military leader will publicly say that the mission comes first, but we always accomplished the mission with the soldiers in mind. So you have the mission. What is the mission? And everybody has to be aware of what the mission is. And I think too often we go into different settings of leading people and we do not have a clear directive. And so there is confusion at the outset. And staying on the mission theme, number three is remember that the mission comes before you too. The only way that mantra works is if the people that you're leading believe that you're going to put the mission first yourself. Swanson says that in the heat of combat, a line from the 2001 HBO miniseries Band of Brothers, tremendous series if you haven't seen it, the only, quote, the only hope you have is to accept the fact that you're already dead. The sooner you accept that, the sooner you'll be able to function as a soldier. So the mission is we're going in, we're going full force, and I'm with it. I'm in it. I'm not sending you in on your own and saying, hey, go accomplish mission. I'm in it with you. We all are on the same team. The article goes on to say it means demonstrating that you'll sacrifice your personal short-term interests for the team's goal. You can't ask anybody else to do that if you're not willing to do it yourself. When I was much younger, I coached basketball. I used to tell the young men, hey, I want to ask you to do anything when it came to conditioning and running that I won't do. Now, I don't know if I'm now my 48-year-old self that I would do that same thing, but I used to tell them that. And they knew, hey, we can't give up because coach hadn't give up. And so that was kind of the where I went because I, as a young coach, I wanted them to see that I was on mission. I didn't have all the years of experience to rely on like other coaches could, so I had to show them I was as dedicated to this task as they were. Number four is rely on your preparation. Rely on your preparation. Swanson spent years preparing for battle, 4 years at West Point, nearly 2 years after graduation. And while training alone will never quite prepare you to lead in real life, he says it's as close as you can get to the real thing. The same principle applies in any leadership context. Article says, think ahead of time about how you'll react to tough situations so you can free your mind in crucial moments to react and adapt quickly. Let me say this. I think sometimes, and I'm going to speak from my point of view as a pastor. I think sometimes we have trouble relying on our preparation because there has been very little preparation. And I know we don't like to say those or admit those things, but it's just truth. When we don't have the preparation that's necessary, so sometimes we think I can go get a 2-year degree, a 4-year degree, and that's going to prepare me. I have learned that there's a lot of things that life lessons that I have to learn to prepare me. And so that's why we need wise people. Too often we throw people into the fire way too early before they even have any idea, and we haven't given them any training. They don't know how to use the tools that are around them. And we say, okay, lead well, and they just don't know how. And I believe that was a lot of my situation. I got just kind of immediately thrown into things, and there were things I failed at, and I learned from those failures, thankfully. But I also looked back and thought, man, I wish I would have had some better preparation going into that. So when we say rely on your preparation, if the people you are under aren't preparing you, there's resources. There's tons of leadership resources. One of the reasons I enjoy being a part of the John Maxwell team is that there are so many resources available. So rely on your preparation. All right, number five, be tough but human. Be tough but human. He says an example, he stayed awake on duty for 60 straight hours at the start of the battle. But he also in those moments found moments of humanity, even humor, in the heat of combat. And your team needs to know that you're tough, but also that you're reacting to the world around you like an engaged leader and not a machine. And man, that's important. Don't be afraid to laugh. Don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to show the emotion. You're going to be tough and you're going to be resilient and you're going to persevere through this, but they have to know you're real. And people will only follow somebody up to a point till they discover that they're not a real person, it seems, till they're just a machine. And machines get a lot accomplished, but machines never impact people's lives and impact people's hearts. And if we're going to lead people and lead people well and lead people beyond just to just getting this particular objective, but helping them to go further, we have to have their hearts so they have to see we have one. If people don't see you have a heart, they know that their heart's never going to be developed, and that's what people crave. So be tough but human. That's good. Number six, encourage your people. Encourage your people. Business, ministry, sports, whatever you know we're doing a lot of times, it's rarely a matter of life and death, but war certainly is, as he says. Article says, one of Swanson's soldiers, Specialist Jacob Martyr, was killed in action during the months of fighting, and several others were wounded and sent home to hospitals in the U.S. Quote, it absolutely ate me alive to lose anyone in the platoon, Swanson says. But he realized that it fell to him to encourage his soldiers and inspire them to keep going. And I can't imagine, at 26 years old, looking death in the face and then saying, okay, what do I do to encourage the people to keep going? Because that's an incredibly scary moment for all of them. Quote, they were all special. The next day after any casualty, I'd remind them that each of them had already sacrificed themselves for each other on a daily basis, and how, if required, I would sacrifice myself for any of them. That brings back the humanity. People are encouraged when you show humanity, and they're encouraged when they show you're going to persevere in spite of the obstacles that everyone is facing and that everybody is going through. And as he said, you've already sacrificed yourself every day. You just weren't the one that went out. And so we have to make a sacrifice each and every day to encourage people, especially when things get tough, especially when things go south in the efforts that we're making, when there's failure. Hey, everybody's going to show up for the party when there's cake and we just accomplished a goal. But what about when the plan failed? What about when this thing that you built up fell flat on its face? That's when you have to encourage people even more. Number seven, communicate effectively. And we talked about communication in our last one. And boy, communication is so important, no matter where you are. It's important, the article says, to make communicating what's going on a priority as well. Your team and all of your stakeholders need to know what's going on, or they can't contribute. And that really ties back into the first one. Not the first one, but when we talked about, the mission. Yeah, number two. And remember that the mission comes first. You have to communicate that. And so I can't stress enough how we have to be good communicators. Just last night, I shared some things with our church online and tried to communicate very effectively some goals that some of them need to set in certain areas of their life, and goals that I need to set in certain areas of our life. And just kind of these, some were broad, but some were also specific. We have to communicate those things or people don't know where to go. Quote, early on in the combat, radio communications weren't always the greatest, but there was no excuse. Swanson says, when technology fails, and it always does at the worst possible moment, you need to have backup ways of getting and giving information. So you have to be able to communicate, and you have to have multiple ways. And if you're just playing, we're going to put all our eggs in this basket, there's a problem. When that problem comes up, what are you going to do when that problem arises? You have to have a plan to communicate. So isn't it interesting? We're saying you have to learn to communicate about communication. But it's just true. So communicate effectively. Number eight, use your resources wisely, but use them. Use your resources wisely, but use them. Swanson's unit dealt with destroyed and unarmored vehicles, he says, and insufficient supplies of almost every sort. More important, confusion, combat, and casualties left them critically short of soldiers. But at the same time, they made full use of everything they had. Whatever they had at their disposal, they used it, and they used it wisely. It especially in a time of difficulty, is not the time to say, hey, let's hoard these resources. No. That's not a good plan. The good plan is to take the resources during those times and say, okay, what can we do with what we have? This may not be perfect. This may not be great, but we can do something with this. And so make full use of everything you have. If what you have is small, just use it and use it wisely. If what you have is large and you have an abundance, use it and use it wisely. Use what you have. And so many people have become extremely successful who didn't have a lot because they used it wisely, the things they had. And number nine, the last one, imitate the leaders who inspire you. And I've always used this, and I believe it with all my heart. Imitate the leaders who inspire you. Swanson says during all of this battle, during the heat of it all, he thought back to the lessons he learned at West Point and some of the other leaders he had known and respected. Also found himself asking a question that has circulated for years among military leaders as sort of a joke, quote, what would John Wayne do? Obviously, there's a little play there of we've asked many times as Christians, what would Jesus do? And so in that moment, what would John Wayne do? That's pretty good. But find the people who inspire you and imitate them. Imitate the leaders who inspire you. How did they handle things that were difficult? Not that your situation is going to be the same as theirs, but there's principles that absolutely apply. I'll leave you with this quote, or this is the last quote from the article. Quote, regardless of where you work, always continue to learn what makes leaders successful and what makes them fail. We learn not only what makes people successful. That's really good, and I think that's something we don't talk about enough. We talk about what makes people successful, but we don't talk about what made them fail. And maybe we need to spend a little more time concentrating on what made them fail as well. We have within us this God-given ability to lead. It's how are we going to use those gifts? How are we going to exercise those things? And so this is just an opportunity today to take these nine things. I'm going to say them real quick. Control your fear. Remember the mission comes first. Remember the mission comes before you as well. Rely on your preparation. Be tough but human. Encourage your people. Communicate effectively. Use your resources wisely, but use them. And imitate the leaders who inspire you. Hey, I hope you lead today, and I hope you lead well, and I hope you're effective. Thanks for joining me for this leadership time. I look forward to seeing you. Got a great guest for my next podcast. I'd love for you to be a part of that. God bless.